Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I am your host, Lance White. Tonight's guest is Nancy Burson, author of Lineage. Nancy was a part-time Harvard professor, FBI consultant, photographer, artist, and author. In August of 2004, Nancy visited a crop circle in Wiltshire, England, and had her first personal close encounter. She met a consortium of highly sentient light beings she refers to as extra-celestials, ECs, and her life has never been the same. Still an artist, photographer, and author, Burson is now also a channel and interpreter for the ECs, or rays, as she refers to them, and has spent the past few years introducing the rays. Lineage is Burson's out-of-this-world true accounting of her journey with the ECs and her mission to familiarize humans with interstellar contact. Chock full of photographs, Lineage details Burson's first contact with the ECs and chronicles the growth of their relationship over the past several years. Lineage is a metaphysical action adventure that also serves as a primer on how to live with light beings. So let's jump to light speed now and meet Nancy live. Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Hi, Lance. How are you?
Good, good. You've certainly had some fascinating experiences after having read your book, and you've met many great teachers along the way. Maybe you could begin by sharing how and when this began to come about.
Well, the first time I walked into a crop circle was in the year 2000, and then went and kind of thought about them, let it soak in where I had been, what had happened there, because the crop circles in England are so powerful, and not that they're not here, but that there just is not as many here, although there are some out by you, you know.
Yeah.
And 80% of the crop circles in the world fall in this one area. Called Wiltshire in England, and they've been falling there steadily for at least the past 30 years, and every year, of course, they get more complex, more extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in the year 2000, in the first crop circle, it was obvious that this had been made not by human hands. To me and my son, it also, I mean, it was just. There was no accounting for what we felt there. And so the fascination began at that time. And then 2003, I went back with my friend Jody Sirota, who channels sound, and we were standing in a crop circle at about midnight, and she was creating these incredible sounds coming through her. And by 7 o'clock the night, we created this intention to make a crop circle, and by 7 o'clock the next morning, the whole field had been extended.
Wow.
And so we were just, it was amazing. It was amazing. And so the next year we thought, well, this was really the carrot to catch the donkey. If we could do that, if the universe was really paying that close attention, then why not come back and meet the beings that we knew were making these?
Oh.
And so that was summer of 2004.
Huh.
And so we...
What was your first encounter with an extra-celestial?
It was that following summer, in the summer of 2004, there had been all kinds of psychic messages that had come through about where and when this encounter would take place. And interestingly enough, it took place in the middle of a crop circle, but also in the midst of these military flares going up, which of course we thought at first were the mothership, you know, because these huge lights in the sky, and it turned out to be nothing but military flares. But at the same time as the flares were going off, there were two balls of light that came and stood in front of us and sort of danced in front of us.
Wow.
And I photographed them. I photographed them 5 or 6 times. And then I just sort of let my camera just sit and just felt them, and the love that they were exuding towards us was just extraordinary. I had never felt anything like that.
Huh.
And I thought it was about a 15-second experience, and it turned out it was at least twice that, according to the camera. So it was an amazing adventure, and also there was this feeling about it that was so different, this love. that I, of course, had never felt before. And so when I came back to New York, it was like I missed them. You know, there was like there was no other way to talk about it. It was just this missing of these of this love. Uh-huh. And so I asked them to move in. That's what I did.
Well, that's a practical way to deal with it.
Well, you know, we New Yorkers are practical types, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. and so then, why don't you continue the story then? What happened when you asked them to move in?
I have to go back one or two steps because at that point I had met Derek O'Neill, who is an Irish avatar, and I had gotten to know him pretty well, and he had started coming to America, which of course he's doing. He's going to be coming to the West Coast, I think sometime in March. But I didn't know Derek at all. Nobody had ever met him before. And all of a sudden, there was this presence that, I had never met anyone who was that powerful, and I didn't even know at that point, when I first met him, that he was the avatar that he is. And in getting to know him, I was sitting with him at a table at a party about, I don't know, like 4.5 years ago, and someone gave him a little statue of Mary, a little glow-in-the-dark statue, and they asked him to put energy into Mary, and he said sure, and I really wanted one, so I said, I'd like to get one of those, and I did, and I put it on the table at the end of my bed.
Uh-huh.
And so when the rays of the ECs first came in, all of a sudden there was Mary dancing in the dark at the end of my bed. And you know, it was such an outrageous sight, and it was just like okay, there's a statue of Mary dancing at the end of my bed. What is that? And I knew that they were there, but I didn't realize that this was in fact a vehicle that Derek had created to be used as a tool to actually see the ECs. So that's how it all kind of came together, because you know those divine types, they work together.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ECs are really a part of the I Am presence, and so is Derek. And he's obviously a very big guy in the universe, and he holds what I feel is the lineage for Christ consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so they sort of work together as a team, and this higher echelon of divine will is also responsible for, you know, changing karma and all kinds of different things that these divine beings that are so powerful, that are on the councils and that answer to the councils and, you know, this whole structure, this hierarchy of God, if you will, is kind of led by these beings. So I got to know more about the ECs through time and through my relationship with them. But basically, each human is born with an EC, and most people or many people who hear a voice, who have a presence with them, a guide with them, usually, as it turns out, that voice will be the EC that's here to be with them, because they really want to be a very big part of our lives right now. And so
do you think that we simply are just calling things by different names, that what we've considered to be guides or angels or whatever might be the ECs?
I think the angels are different. I think the angels don't... I hate to say this, but I think the angels don't have as the same sense of humor.
I was going to say that, but I just...
Yeah. No, that's
all
right.
I didn't want to spit that
one
out.
Leave it to me, because, you know, I've gotten very used to alienating the angels around me, and they do sort of understand it in their own way. But, they're very funny. And,
Yeah. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Playful, too, aren't they?
They're very playful. And what they play, of course, which is what we know so well, is called the game of life. And what they're here to do with us. And, you know, what they say is, humans, please lighten up.
You know? Yes, really. Do they ever explain, and in your conversations with Derek, does he ever talk about why he's here or why they're here now or what's going on at this
why
time
he's
in
here?
Particular?
Why he's here or why they're here?
Why both Derek is here and the ECs are
okay.
Are
well, he was the first to tell me probably 5 years ago that there were these beings that were going to be here, and they were here to actually heal human health, not only to be with us, but to heal human health of, you know, and to heal humans of all disease, of all disease. And so he had said that 5 years ago, and I thought, well, that's pretty grand. And then I honestly believe that the reason that he is here is to really serve humanity. I mean, if you look at Derek's website, I think it's SQ Wellness, and if you look at it, you'll see that he is really the only one who is raising money for poverty-stricken children and adults all over the world.
Wow.
And so what he does goes directly to his charities, to his orphanages in India. He started some things in Africa and in South America now. And so basically all the money that he gets goes to these schools, the orphanages, and he just keeps it going, you know. He's just
right.
And not only that, but he really, when you call Derek in, and anybody and everybody who wants to can call Derek O'Neill in, he will come. That's his purpose here. He is really here for everybody.
Wow.
And so he says, you know, call on me. Just call him. He's there. So this is his function. It's pretty big, huh?
Yes. Well, of course, there are probably others here too that have their functions that are not unlike him.
That's right. He's the only one that I know personally who's here.
Right. Exactly.
And that, you know, that feels quite different to me. Now the ECs are here to not only heal our health, but to heal the health of the planet. And if enough of us ask, or I should say when enough of us ask, then they can change the entire scenario that's occurring here. And so they're asking for an energetic majority of people to ask for them. We don't really know how many people that is, but an energetic majority. So they're really waiting. I mean, they're here waiting to be embraced by us. And so, you know, they haven't had a lot of good luck appearing in the sky. You know, it's like, okay, when will they, well, hello, people, come on, you know? Although I have to say that I think that UFO disclosure, which I call IFO disclosure, you know, identified flying objects, certainly we know who they are. They are the ECs who are here, and all these sightings are these beings, these celestial beings. I do believe that there will be disclosure soon because John Podesta is going to be in the White House again, and he was there with the Clinton administration, and he was very pro-disclosure, pro-UFO disclosure. And so I think now that he's going to be back in the White House, there will be disclosure.
Well, plus there are so many different exopolitics movements that are pushing hard that have whole bastions of generals and admirals and people who have been in the know who are talking about this stuff, but the information isn't getting out there.
Right.
You know,
right.
The mainstream media just doesn't, it's controlled.
Yeah, it is, and I thought it was really interesting that, I think it was in May of last year, the Vatican came out with a statement saying it's okay that ETs, quote-unquote ETs, are our brethren. You know, we cannot deny their existence. They are also a part of God. And
absolutely.
That statement I thought was huge, huh?
It is for them.
Yes, it is.
Now, if they would just accept homosexuals as human beings, I'd be very happy.
It's coming.
They'll accept aliens, but not fellow human beings. I guess we still have a ways to go with that.
Yeah, we do. And also, you know, let's let's do away. I mean, I'd love to do away with the A, what I call the A word, the A-L-I-E-N word, because they're not.
Yes.
They are not that.
Right.
They are really.
Right.
They say, "Don't call us aliens. We are a part of you. We've
right.
been with you since the beginning of time. And in fact, they created us. They created us. Yeah, they created us, and they created the masters with a little bit of a different sets of DNA.
Yes. Now, a lot of people believe that we're on the verge of a major shift.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a shift in consciousness. That could be a planetary shift. That we're crossing the galactic plane. And that the Mayan calendar in 2012 might be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts on that at all, or are you just kind of living in the moment and enjoying
it?
No, I
definitely have some thoughts on it, but it sort of means that we have to kind of jump ahead and talk about what's happened in terms of what I'm doing now and
mm-hmm.
what that means. So if we can jump forward and then jump back, it would be great.
Okay.
So let me just say that if viewers go on my website, they can see, and I hope they'll go on my website. It's
yes.
www.nancyburson.com.
Good.
And it's B-U-R-S-O-N. And when I was in England this time, there was this 3 days of manifestations in my bathtub, and they were little gold pellets. And,
huh.
Of course, I had never really manifested anything before. I mean, I had longed to manifest Vibhuti, you know, the sacred
right.
ash that comes out of Baba's hands, and Derek O'Neill makes it in tins. Yeah. But 3 days of baths and showers in Wilshire, these tiny gold pellets emerged, and of course, it was not like anything I had ever seen, and I was like, "What is this?" And they began to say, "This is the gift that keeps on giving." And then, of course, you know, information came forth. These are this gift that they've given humanity, in that this is when you put these things in water, they can really shift health, human health. And so I started making water out of the pellets and giving it to people, and people were just amazed, because what they say that it is light. And they also say that it's compassion. The quote unquote missing ingredient that they left out of mankind when they made us.
No kidding.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what they said. It was kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Well, they got that one right.
Yeah, right. But there was like, you know, it was like, oh, oops, you know.
we forgot the compassion. Here, we can
right.
throw it in now.
Right. And that's exactly what they said. So now they found a way to put the compassion back in. And so when people take it, whatever is wrong with them, it seems to fill it up. You know, it seems to sort of lighten it. And the light kind of grows within people. And so I was told 6 months later there would be an upgrade. And so around Christmas Day, it's clearly the day after Christmas, I began manifesting these crystals and fibers. And part of it, they had explained what their DNA encoded structure of their DNA looks like. And the first thing out of my bathtub was exactly that shape, and you can see it. You can see it online. And
you have that picture up on your website.
I do. I have it.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Mm-hmm. And so this was like, okay, this is wild. And then what I realized by the end of the day is that I was making these crystals and fibers, and just they were coming out of my hands and my feet. And so now at this point, 3 weeks later, I've got quite a collection.
And so
some of those photos are on there as well. And then
wow.
they began delivering these little kind of twiglets, I call them.
Huh.
And they didn't come through my body, but they came. They've been landing on my light box, and there are a few places now where they seem to like to put things. So these are the upgrade of the pellets, and these are 20 times as strong as the pellets. So So what they're saying now is this water is here to heal, you know, the serious, the more serious illness, the cancers, the Parkinson's disease, you know, the really heavy-duty illnesses. And how miraculous is this? So what they're saying is that love is the vehicle, and you ride on the vehicle. You keep putting love in your body, and you keep putting it in. And you put it in the form of light. But then when you begin to meet these beings and take them in, they're here to really light us up with their blue light. And that luminosity, their blue luminosity is also what they're here to share with us. And that's also, that's very healing. Mm-hmm. And so that light becomes the vehicle, the receptacle, okay? The love is a vehicle, the light is a receptacle. So when we have that receptacle, we actually have a transport system. And so when we talk about 2012, what I really feel the energies are doing now is just sort of accumulating and getting more intense. And then as we take more light into our bodies, and one of those forms I really truly believe is this water, then we will have this system whereby if we want to go, we can leave. Pardon me?
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It really does.
These are the next human possibilities. And so what they're asking is, look, you know, not only are we offering you the opportunity to be healthier, happier humans, but we're also giving you this potential to come with us. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so now what I have is I have my own vehicle. I just don't have a driver's license. And sooner or later, you know, we humans will develop not only our vehicles but our driver's license.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
let's see. You've traveled also with other spiritually minded friends all over the European sacred spots, haven't you?
I haven't done so much in Europe. No, I've really.
No?
I've been in Ireland quite a bit with Derek, and I've been in Scotland, which is also, you know, very, very powerful. But I haven't really been, you know, the places that a lot of people have been, and it's just because I keep getting drawn back to England and where the circles are. And you know, for anybody who has never been in a circle, they're just. Isn't anything like that accumulation of energy, and it's just a wondrous idea, you know, for people to wander over there in the summer just to get a taste of what it's like. I mean, it's an activation to look at a crop circle. It's always an activation to just look at a photo of a crop circle. And if you go on, if your listeners would go on www.cropcircleconnector.com. Mm-hmm. And look at that website. You can see the circles from last year, and they are magnificent. It's just unbelievable.
And like you said, they're getting more complex and unusual. Mm-hmm. They're almost incomprehensible.
Yes, and yet, you know, they are incredibly comprehensible, depending on what level you're speaking about. So,
right.
Not only are they intended for individuals to learn from and be activated by, but they also are about the bigger picture of the, you know, the world, what's going on the earth. And a good example, the best example I felt from last season was a circle that landed in June that nobody could figure out at first, and then a physicist came up with this incredible idea, and he was totally right. This was pi to the power of 10. And what an incredible thing to have figured out, you know.
Wow.
I mean, there's one researcher in England that speaks of the circles, and he says that they're like toys left on a child's blanket to play with, you know, to learn.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
Now, what is the feeling that you have when you're in one? I mean, does it start from outside the circle, or does it actually occur inside the circle? And Can you describe it a little bit?
The best way to describe it is it's silly bliss, you know. the rays of the ECs talk about silly bliss. There's a state of grace there, and there's just this accumulation of energy. So by the time you leave, it's pretty giddy. The energy's pretty giddy. And so if you go from circle to circle, which people do in Wilshire, by the end of the day, you're pretty well cooked, you know, like really cooked.
And they're also, am I correct in stating that they're also forms of activation when you go in within them?
Yeah, they're total activations for people, not only personal, but, you know, group activations. And if you spend time in a circle with a number of people, a number of friends, you'll really find yourself pulled closer to those friendships. You know, the circles have a way of communicating with everybody that walks into them, and so all kinds of things happen, and they do, of course, interact with the people who are going into them. So, you know, people will begin to get messages about this circle or that circle, and then there'll be all kinds of messages that they receive. And that's one of the things that plays out in Lineage, because, you know, the metaphysical action-adventure part is really, the plot line is sort of led by the universe. And so what I did was just kind of follow the messages. It's like, you know, following the breadcrumbs that lead to the divine.
Now, there are different kinds of extra-celestials, are there not?
There are, and that's a really great question. Some of them look like balls of light. I mean, most of them come in as balls of light, so when you see them, sometimes people will be seeing these little lights out the corner of their eyes that are like blue and white and red. And that's the way they seem to come in. They travel in those little vehicles, and then when they pop open from those vehicles, what you'll see are bigger, bluer balls of light, or swirling, a lot of blue swirling energy, and then there are some the actual sort of balls of light stay balls of light. Those very intense blue balls of light. Those are actually just kind of flying heads. We call them the floating heads of optimism.
Sure.
And there's one on the cover of Lineage, in fact. And he looks sort of like, I used to call him Ray Charles, because he looks like he's wearing sunglasses, you know? And they also look like lit up mummies. So, you know, at one point I was saying, oh, you look like mummies. And they said, well, we're not mummies, we're mommies. We're your mommies.
Now they're not to be confused with orbs, are they?
No. Okay. Let me explain the difference between the ECs and the orbs. The orbs are the first rung on the ladder of energies that humans were allowed to contact visually. So they were really fantastic at showing us intention and the power of intention. So if you picked up a camera and you said, you know, show me the orbs, or you were thinking about the orbs, you would get orbs. And they are like small units of consciousness, like the cells that run around our bodies, but they're the cells that sort of run around the universe. And they're attracted to energy, you know, loving energy.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference between the orbs and the ECs. The ECs are these highly sentient beings. Who are, you know, part of the I Am presence. And so they're very different, and they're here to share their luminosity. The orbs do not share their luminosity. They're just kind of one. The other ECs, some of the other categories of ECs are, there are these kind of medical types that hang out with you, especially if you've got health problems. And they're these very tall beings, and they've got small heads and big shoulders and big hands, and they're very wise. They're masters, and then there's others that there's a picture of one in my book that looks sort of a little bit ET-like, but they're light. You know, they're comprised of light, so they're pink or blue or white, and they're very gentle, and they're the poets.
Oh.
They're the rhymers. and the writers, you know.
Ah.
And then there's others that look, it's sort of a, like a cartoon universe. There's others that really look very, very much like cartoons. So, you know, everyone in the universe is quite beautiful, but it's a different kind of beauty. And one of the reasons I think that I developed this job description that I have now is that I spent about 7 years photographing deformity. And of course, you know, no one in the universe is quote different. Everyone is beautiful in their own way. It's kind of like that bottom of Star Wars. So, but I did learn about that, and I was asking people to sort of shift their vision for about 7 years when I was taking those pictures.
Mm.
And so it's very interesting to me, because what they really want humans to do is accept them for what they look like, and this is kind of a big part of what my job is here. They say, even though we don't look like you, doesn't mean we're not beautiful. So, you know, they are beautiful. They're just otherworldly beautiful. You know?
Yeah.
So you know, if you had difficulty accepting your stranger-looking friends in high school, then, you know, you might still be having a problem. But on the other hand, if you're willing to dump that concept altogether, then you'll be fine.
Well, you know, it seems like it's about time we dump quite a few concepts.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Why not this one? This is great.
Exactly.
This will be good to go. Yeah, they're looking forward to being accepted by all humanity, and I think that one of the things that they are concerned about is whether they'll just look too strange, you know. But on the other hand, the gifts that they're offering are huge. So, you know, let's see what we can do to shift our thinking.
Yeah, well, obviously you're on the cutting edge of this right now.
I sure am. How did I get here? My God.
Well, it sounds like a soul contract to me.
It sounds like, 2,000 years of karmic destiny.
Right.
I wanted to, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
You've been preparing for thousands of years.
I have, apparently, without knowing it. I mean, I've been using a couple of mantras lately, and one of them is God knows, and the other is so what?
Right. I like that one. I like
so
what better.
Both work, though, you know?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
How do the rays communicate with you? I mean, do you hear them inside of your head or
mm-hmm.
as a voice?
I hear them mostly in my voice. I do hear them, I hear them sometimes in other voices as well. They kind of like to mix it up a little bit. And I also, you know, there's a lot of, and I think a lot of people in your listening audience will be having the same kinds of things, but they do go through your ears in about 3 to 5 seconds of sound. And I get lots of notes on the internet saying, oh, I'm so glad you told me that that's them, because, you know, they were about to go to a hearing, you know, the doctor for their hearing, and that's not what it is, that is them. And and that's some sort of an activation or whatever they're doing. I don't know what they're doing, but, you know, in any case, there is some of that. And of course, if you get tired of it, you can always say, "Okay, turn it down," you know, because we are still in charge here. And so they communicate like that. And I am an open channel, and it's a kind of a 24/7 thing. And you know, I mean, they hear every word, and of course, all our guides hear every word.
You know,
it's just that you have to get used to the fact that there's beings there that do hear every word, you know?
Yeah, there's no privacy.
There's absolutely no privacy. There really isn't.
Not even in the bathroom.
That's it. That's true. But, you know, the upside is that you can always say prayers in the bathroom, and then, you know, it's then that becomes a sacred place as well.
Well, that's true. So, according to what you're saying, then anyone can develop an ability to communicate with the rays, and they're most anxious to be able to do so with us.
That is so true. They are really here for us, and all we have to do is ask. And one thing about lineage that's really wonderful is that it is a link to them. It's a connection to them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the book is kind of blessed, and as they say, I mean, this isn't my writing. It's really written by them, and as they say, I'm their favorite handwriting, and it's very sweet. And so, I would suggest that if people who are listening are interested in better communication with these beings, that they get a copy, and the ECs are suggesting that if they really want contact, that you put these copies of the book on your bed, right on your bed, and then they'll know that you really are wanting contact with them. And they won't appear as anything other than blue light unless they really feel that you're ready. And that's very important to say, because, you know, people get frightened and, you know, it's nighttime and, you know, things that go bump in the night and it's scary.
Yeah.
But that's not the way that they are. They're very, very loving. And
yeah.
So there won't be any visits. It's not like the beings who were here before, and I want to make that very clear.
Good. One of the things that you mentioned, one of your chapters is called Night School, and I identified with that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind explaining that for the audience?
Sure, yeah. Okay, well, most people don't stay in their bodies. There is a part of us that goes somewhere where we're willing to learn or be in service or both. And
mm-hmm.
so if we have a teacher, most likely we're in night school with our teacher. Or even if, you know, if you're a shoemaker and you want to know how to make better shoes, you're probably studying with somebody on the astral plane at night that makes great shoes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so this is not just about spirituality. There's a sort of a practical side to night school as well. But for many of us, especially the light workers among us, which, I mean, we're so many these days, which is just wonderful. We are doing service at night, and to see what we can do to make peace in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we have a teacher, usually we're in that night school, or we're doing something else. If we intend to go somewhere at night, to be doing something at night, then that's usually what we will be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of it seems like a dream, but it's not quite dreamlike. It's a little bit more real. And
mm-hmm.
And so some of us are working very hard tonight, and that's why a lot of us are waking up in the morning and you think, oh, my God, what did I do, you know?
Uh-huh.
And,
yes, definitely.
And that's because you were doing, you know. you just thought you were sleeping. You thought you were dreaming, and no, you were out, you were busy. You know?
Right, on many levels.
On many levels, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a unique way and wondrous way to be in service, and it's escalated just in such an extraordinary way since September 11th, and a lot of the prayers that are being said and the service that's being done is at night, and
mm-hmm.
and then there's thousands of us now that are doing it, working together.
Now, you mentioned September 11th, and since you are in New York, were you there when that happened?
Yeah, I was, and the building, I mean, I'm 16, 17, 18 blocks from there, so yes, I was, and my son was, and it was a pretty interesting time. I did write a book about it that came out after that called Focus. And that was a kind of a post 9/11 memoir. It was a very interesting and sad time to be in New York, and especially downtown, because all of a sudden there was a kind of a split between the people who lived uptown and the people who lived downtown, and the people uptown weren't really smelling what was going on downtown, and the people who were here. I mean, we didn't open our windows for 3 months, but you know, this is a small complaint compared to the people who really were close to people and lost family members, which we did not. So, and that's, in one sense, we were lucky, but in another sense, it had such a huge effect on our lives, and of course, you know, on the world's lives, and the beginning of war.
Yes. Possibly the wrong one.
Yeah, the beginning of the wrong one.
Yeah. I mean, if you can justify a war, it's becoming increasingly more difficult to accept the idea of that killing other people is a good idea.
I think that's where the ECs have really had it with us. You know, I think that and not feeding everybody on the planet is they're pretty miffed that we can't do these things. You know, and that we're still killing each other is just absolutely incredible. You know, I mean, why? You know, why?
Partly
in the name of God. You know.
It's almost unbelievable. I mean, it really is. It's hard to believe that this is still going on. And then,
I was going to say
corruption and greed.
Yes, exactly. I was just going to say that what they say is humanity holds the entire universe back with its greed.
Oh yes, yes.
If you want contact with the ECs, the best thing to do is just live a life in integrity and be caring and sharing and say what you mean and mean what you say
and
be kind and generous to people. And you know, if you live like that, if you live a model life, and don't hurt anybody and live in love and as opposed to fear, then you know, these are the humans that they are asking to be with, you know,
mm-hmm.
that they want mm-hmm. to contact with.
Mm-hmm. Very understandable.
Right.
I totally agree with that, too, and I think that's the only way to be, really.
It is, and we have to understand that now is the time, that there must be this shift in the next few years, that there must be this shift. They actually told me tonight that... the whole idea behind these manifestations now, these crystals and these fibers that are coming out of me, since they're delivering the ones that will really be for water, for humanity, and there is actually an organization that's coming in now to fund the water and to fund my presentations, which we can talk about in a few minutes. But in any case, the water is given for free. You know, there's no charge for the water.
Oh, it's not $19.95 a bottle.
What?
It's not $19.95 a bottle.
No, I think what it will be is a donation kind of thing. But at the same time, there is going to be a sponsor for it, which is why it's called Thank You Very Much Productions. And so, they really, really want humanity, every person, they want it available for every person. But the other things that are coming out of me now are really for the purpose of study and for scientific study because what we have here and the reason that this has happened to me is because, they're making a point that this is my DNA and their DNA combined.
Whoa.
And here it is. Not that this is going to happen to every human, because it's not going to happen. It will happen energetically to humans, but not, you know, there won't be crystals coming out of people's bodies. What they are doing this for is so this body, my body, will be studied. And what they say is, be the miracle that is you, so others will know that the miracle is true.
Mm.
So what I've been doing is I have a few physicists now who I've had look at the water. They say it's vigorous, which means that it has a plus or a minus, and it decides whether or not it's plus or minus, which means it has consciousness, and that's why it adjusts to every person. But when the medical community figures out what this is, and this is what they've told me, when we've come to the reason why it's here and when scientists really figure this out, it will help not only the alternative health community, but the entire medical community because it will target drugs so that they can really heal people.
Well, they're going to have to fight with the big pharmaceutical companies then.
That's true. And they have a choice, you know, as we all do. There will be this choice and decision that has to be made. But from what I understand, they're going to be pretty excited about it. And so when it's found, as they say, there'll be quite a fuss, a fabulous stir of gloriousness. because there's something in their DNA that they're going to really, really love. And so what they told me tonight was that I was going to keep manifesting for probably another year. And I will keep manifesting for another year until it's absolutely proven that this is them. That they are here. That they are here for this purpose, and they are accepted here for this purpose. So what a year we have ahead of us, right?
Yes.
That's a lot to come down in 2009, huh?
Yeah. Well, really? It seems that, like, this is a pivotal year, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It's here we are. Ready. Let's go, you know.
I agree. I've been ready for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I know.
You know, come on, bring it on, people.
Let's move on.
Moving right along.
Yeah,
wake up.
Awake. Mm-hmm. Awake.
Now, you brought up an idea of vortexes in your book, too. Could you explain a little bit about what you mean by vortexes?
An energetic vortex is a place where the energy accumulates, kind of like a funnel. And so what the crop circles act as are vortexes, vortexes really of love. And so do the sacred sites. And the sacred sites in England, of course, all run on the same line, and that's why the crop circles are also surrounding there, part of the reason. And so these ley lines, the ancients knew about, and they cross over England. And so all the sacred sites and all the cathedrals, the Christians knew what the ancients did, and so their knowledge was passed on. The ancients passed their knowledge on to the Christians, and the Christians built all their cathedrals, all their abbeys, on those same ley lines.
On those lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all those spots become vortexes, and they're very high energy, and of course they're amazing places to heal, and also Derek O'Neill built a very big vortex in my bedroom,
I remember reading about that. He took over your bedroom and let you to sleep on the couch, and you didn't know why. And I'll let you tell the story.
I didn't really know what he was doing sleeping in my bedroom, and I thought, well, this is interesting. Wonder what is going on in there. And it wasn't until I was in the midst of this relationship that had kind of started to go sour that suddenly I realized that the vortex was really built to get rid of this guy.
it could only be that easy.
But you know, it's gone on to become such a portal for the light beings that it's like living. I mean, people who walk in there, it's such a loving place of grace, my room. When Derek comes to town, this place always becomes a hub of activity, and there's always about a dozen people who are staying here, and people decided they wanted to sleep. A lot of people wanted to sleep in the vortex one night, and so there was about half a dozen people in my bedroom sleeping.
That sounds like fun.
It was great fun. People were all over the place, and I was the last to go to sleep that night, and there's a glow-in-the-dark Jesus that figures very prominently in my room, and for some reason I walked in and it wasn't lit, and it's always lit, and then I realized that it's only lit for me. for when I'm there. So this is the glory of these ECs who bring us such amazing, wondrous gifts, and it's kind of like having them, you know, as your best friend walking down the street with you and being more conscious of it than you've ever been before. You know, so they're very loving advisors. you know.
Do you know of any others that are experiencing them as well as you, or?
Yes, yeah, there are thousands of people. I mean, let's talk about my presentations, because I've been doing these presentations for the last 3 years, and I have nothing right now on the schedule, but I've been privileged to do them quite a few over the last 3 years, and one in September at the UN last September, and.
Wow.
And what happens in these presentations is I create a vortex, which I am one of Derek O'Neill's teachers now, and he's taught us how to create this incredible vortex where you can go in there and actually dump anything that you want to get rid of in it, and it'll just take it into light. So we do a lot of meditations and stuff in these evening presentations, and we guide people. So that they can understand how to see and feel these beings in these presentations. So most people by the end of a couple of hours have been able to see these beings, and the statues dance to music. Mary and Jesus both dance to the music.
Oh.
And people see them dancing in the dark. And
wow.
What we've done is, because we really create a very dark room by blocking out all the light in the room, what we've done is to actually test the fact that the energy turns different colors when these statues are dancing. So Jesus, when he's dancing, becomes this. The energy in the room becomes green. I mean, literally becomes green. We've done tests on it, and we've got this videotape of these tests where the energy in the room consistently turns green when Jesus is dancing. Because, you know, once again, these balls of light are coming in front of the statue and kind of moving the statue energetically so that it looks like the statue is moving. And it's very convincing. I mean, you know, people think they see such incredible things, and they do. But it is the rays or the ECs that are actually moving the statues. And then when Mary comes on and dances, the energy in the room literally turns blue.
Yeah.
And so we have this evidence now, which is very concrete, and also the pictures that have been taken over the last 3 years. I have not been allowed to take pictures myself. I kind of forfeited that job so that I could show these beings to others. And what they said to me when they told me this was, you know, be fed, be nourished by the photos of others that will be taken in my presence and at these events. So that's exactly what has happened. There's been an accumulation of these images now. And people who go to the presentation see them.
That's too bad, because you're a photographer and probably quite good too.
And you know, I think sometime that those things will come back, because I think if people look on my site, they can see that the pictures of the crystals are really probably one of the most amazing art projects I've ever done and photographed. You know, it's a documentation, I think, of that, and perhaps that's the next work that I'll show. You know, it's really not important for me to show my work. The important thing is to get the word out and to do, you know, what the job has been given to me. You know, and that's why that's why the subtitle of the book is, you know, what if the universe gave you a gift? You know, what would you do with that gift? I mean, it's, you know, it's the 21st century equivalent to, I guess, something similar to a burning bush, you know? This is the upgrade.
I mean,
is the update. You know,
this is
2009.
Absolutely.
Here we are.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's up to us to recognize, you know, that this is a new manifestation. We might be looking for something from the past. And I think if we are, we're going to miss what's right here in front of us.
Exactly, exactly. Yes, just move forward only. You know, move forward.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I found it interesting, too. I just wanted to lightly touch on this, that you have a son who's an indigo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's becoming quite more known.
It is, but I have to say... I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, well, just go ahead.
I you know, indigos are a label like any other label, and I have a sort of a reaction to, yes, I have an indigo child. And that said, you know, I mean, all our children are miraculous in their own ways, and so this label, it's like, okay, I understand the label, but do we really need to have a label? You know, there's the crystalline kids. I'm not really sure I understand that one either. You know,
the rainbow kids.
Yeah, the rainbow kids. But I think our children now are so, each one of them is such a miracle on the planet right now, because I really feel like each one is being born for such a huge purpose, and they will be the leaders, you know. You know, they will take over, and Kier is very much a part of that, and I've always felt that he was a leader, but he was a very early channel, and so there is a lot in lineage about my relationship with him, and the fact that he was such an open channel when he was so young. He was healing kids when he was 5. He was a complete channel when he was 9, and he was seeing all levels of aura at that age. So,
wow.
In a sense, you know, our kids are always our teachers. And vice versa, and he had great mastery at that age.
That's wonderful. It's very exciting. I think these are probably the most exciting times to live in, don't you?
I absolutely do.
Well, for you, for sure.
Who would have expected this? Yeah, I mean, really.
We don't have a lot of time left, so I wanted to make sure that you mentioned your site again and where you can be reached.
Okay. It's www.nancyburson.com, BURSON.com. And Lineage is available through my site. It's available on Amazon. It's available at Barnes & Noble. There's a place on the website that you can hit on and put your zip code in and find out whether they have the book in the store nearest you.
Wonderful. So, and any last words that you'd like to share with us as a message from them or from you?
I think what they would want to say is just, you know, please to ask for them. There's a video called Ask for Us on my site, and so if they would tune into that, that's really that is the message that they want to humans to understand, that they're here for everybody. It doesn't matter what your belief system is; they don't care. And really, it's about love. You know, it's about staying in your heart. And so that's the ultimate message. There is no greater force in the universe than love, you know?
Wonderful. I totally agree with that one.
Yeah.
Well, Nancy, thank you so much for being on the show. I loved your book, and I recommend it to everybody. And I just wish you the best, and I'm going to keep following your work and see, you know, what's happening with your experiences. And it's just
stay tuned. Let's see what the scientists have to say.
Yes. That more shall be revealed.
More shall be revealed, and thank you, California. It's nice to die. Boy, you guys, you're so lucky to be there. It's so cold on the East Coast.
Oh, about 10 degrees?
Oh, it's even been worse than that. I mean, it's the last couple of days. People look so miserable on the street, but, you know, everybody's very friendly.
Yeah.
But thank you very
much.
Sending you big hugs.
Yes, you too. And give the ACs a big hug for me too, will you?
No, you give it to them yourself.
Oh, okay. I can do that myself.
Ask.
All right.
Yes,
I will
ask.
Do that.
Everybody
tonight.
Ask. Okay.
Okay.
Lots of love. Thanks.
All right. Good night.
Good night.